And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's marvelous, monumental, most fascinating, massively mind-bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds as one, drawing closer to the King of Kings and glorifying his name. First, here's where the book of Job gets even better. Now, we went through a lot of chapters, getting through a lot of stuff, but now we're at the great theology proper. Now we're at the facts of the matter. Elihu points out that any person who turns to the Lord and praises God will be accepted by God. God receives such individuals with joy, showing that he is glad when people turn to him in prayer and seek his face. Furthermore, the Lord promises to restore and place us in right standing. Next, this is a strong admonition for us to pray. At this point, Elihu is telling Job he's rather ignorant when he claims innocence and says that God has taken away his rights without any sin on Job's part. However, what people often overlook is that the first time any person sins ever, God's discipline could be eternal at the moment. That's what we would deserve. And claiming innocence and asserting rights in front of God is absurd, as we all fall short and more than once. And finally, then the younger lad makes a valid point in his argument. God does not sin and cannot do any wrong. It's a way of saying, take that and think about it. God has never acted unjustly toward anyone, as everything he does is for our best interests, declaring the truth and justice regardless of people's opinions.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk is what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey. We're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you make that call, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Dynamite! All right, I didn't bring this up earlier because I was waiting for this particular time, but talking to Dynamite D is like eating s'mores with your grandkids.
That's the best one, Dave. That's the best one you've done, Dave.
And wow. So on Friday was s'mores day, and I didn't say anything on purpose so I can do this one. Because when we had the grandkids over, we had s'mores.
That is lovely. How did it go, Dave?
Yeah, it just went fabulous.
Great.
And what's really great is we taught the kids about s'mores. We might teach them nothing else that's important except to love Jesus. And s'mores.
That's a pretty good job.
How good is that? That's pretty good. All right, bottom line is this. Maybe you've got a prayer request, and we would love to join you in prayer and pray. Maybe it's physical, financial, maybe it's emotional, maybe it's psychological. That, you do think that matters? Everybody goes through this. And we need to pray for one another, and we need to encourage one another, strengthen one another, and bless one another. Now, I am a doctor, but you can't call me and get a diagnosis because my solution is going to be the same thing. Take two pills, Goss pills.
Okay? The doctor with no patience.
Yeah, the doctor with no patience. And here's the bottom line to that. If we're praying together and joining you in your struggle, then you're not doing it alone. That's the big key. And if you've got something that the Lord has done, well, you need to testify. In fact, Scripture actually commands it multiple times, but I'm just going to encourage you at this particular point. If you've got something to share and the Lord's put it on your heart, share it. You can call the show. You can text the show. You can email. That all that will work. That's all good. You can do any of those things to engage with other brothers and sisters from different denominations who, when that trumpet blows, when the angel, you hear the angel shout, okay? That trumpet blows. My, oh, my. We're all going to be hanging out together for all eternity. How fun is that going to be? That's just going to be awesome. So we're just getting a head start on some of that stuff. We also do Bible trivia, which I'd like to point out, some questions are a little tougher than other questions. That's part of the process of growing and developing. Here's your trivia question. King David, before he was king, technically king, before he was technically king, King David, who was King David's best friend, according to Scripture? Who was his best friend? Before he was king, you know, who was his best bud, right? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So those are a couple ways you can do that. We're talking about King David before he was king, so technically before he's king. Who was his buddy? Who was his pal? Who was his friend? Okay, his friend before he became king. Who was his friend? His betty buddy buddy friend friend. Again, if you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We got to do our DNA. We cannot forget to do DNA, so we will not forget to do DNA. We've just moved it from the first 30 minutes where we hardly take a break now to this part. D stands for Draw Closer to the Lord.
Daily.
No way to communicate it any better. Okay, just spend time with the Lord. And this is really important you understand what I'm saying. Separated time. The big part about being holy is being separated. Make your time with the Lord holy. Separate. Okay? All right. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. As you know, they're arresting people for praying quietly. They're arresting people for reading the Bible. I mean, all this stuff taking place all over the world. Don't be ashamed of what Jesus had to say, ever. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which means OPM, other people matter, which means instead of focusing all of our energy on ourselves, which at some point just drains us, let's take some of that energy and focus it on other people. We share in their victories. We cry with them when things are hard. Everybody's been with me on this. We're praying for Nola. You know, you're praying for Gary. You're praying for different people on different health reasons. But you weep when it's hard. You laugh when it's good. That's part of it. You know, what Rosalind went through up and down. Her and Robert, you know, there's rejoicing. Then there's weeping. And there's weeping. And there's rejoicing. That's part of life. That's part of the Christian life, I should say. All right? Okay, last, and then I'm going into the text. Who was David's bud, his really good friend, Friendamundo? 972-445-0770 is the number to call. 214-210-8483 is the number to text. david@hemustincrease.org. I'm sorry that I'm going through Job as slow as I am, and for those that are, like, get on to the next book, we are teaching 10 different books, and we're winding down on two of them. So there'll be two new books, probably one from the new, one from the old. Just can't decide whether it's going to be Genesis or 1 Samuel, kind of kicking that around, right? Because that's fun.
You should have seen me, Dave, when I first came. I was like, wow, each new book, each episode? And I was my head was spinning.
it does get to be a bit much sometimes. All right, so here's the bottom line in this. Let's go into the text. I want to make sure you get this. We are in Job. We're actually in the last part of 33, which is still the original chapter where Elihu is responding to Job. I'm going to read a bigger portion, but I'm going to focus in on the little bits of it. So here's what he says. In verse 26 of Job 33, it says, "When he prays to God, he will be accepted." Here's this portion that we're really picking up on. "And God will receive him with joy and restore him to good standing. He will declare to his friends, I sinned, but it was not worth it. God rescued me from the grave, and now my life is filled with light. Wow, what a great line. Yes, God often does these things for people. Not against people, for people. He rescues them from the grave so that they may live in light of the living, live in the light of the living. Mark this well, Job, listen to me and let me say more. But if you have anything to say, go ahead. I want to hear it, for I'm anxious to see you justified. But if not, then just listen to me, keep silent, and I will teach you wisdom. Okay. So this is Elihu kind of spreading his wings right here. That's kind of how you'd say that. He's just really, he's in the zone, right? When somebody's in the zone, you kind of know what's going on. And so here he is. He's this admonition. God receives people who turn to him and praise him. God will accept those people. God is glad when people turn to him in prayer and seek his face. Furthermore, he promises to restore us and place us in right standing. When you do something wrong, if you do something wrong, when you do something wrong, whenever you do something wrong, you turn your face to God. You're not, my sin is affecting, your sin's only affecting you and the people around you. It's not affecting God. He's there to help you. And so he wants you to turn to him. Turn your face to him. And so God will receive him with joy, restore him to good standing. The Lord loves you. You see, this is the thing that we miss, right? God loves to restore us. He doesn't want us to fall, but he's there to help. And so what we do is we go through our different elements in life, and let's just be honest. Some things go in life as you get go through, and you go through your 10, your 20, your 30, your 40, 50, 60, your 70, your 80. Some things go through life, and it just seems that's kind of like normal, no big deal. But many of us have had hiccups, challenges, large, big chasms that have hurt us. And we get hurt. It hurts, right? I mean, earlier in Job, he said life is, you know, short and full of trouble. He's just like, there's a lot of stuff going on. Right. But God is there. And anytime we turn our face to the Lord, he will receive us. If your turn is sincere. If you know, man, I'm stuck. I'm in a repetitive mode. I'm trying to do better, Lord. Don't you listen to the legalists, and don't listen to the people that enjoy licentiousness. Don't listen to either side. Turn your face to God and let the Lord be the one that restores you. If you turn to God and let him restore you, he will help you. And for those that do it and you're stuck like in a sin, the best confession you could ever make when you're being honest with the Lord, just the best one, is the very thing. I sinned, but it wasn't worth it. That's what he says. It's like, you see, sin is pleasurable for a season. Here's the key right here. It's pleasurable for a short time. Then it goes bye-bye because no sin endures in its enjoyment. Doesn't work that way. But the restoration and the grace and the redemption that comes from the Lord, it's forever. And so the sinner needs to go, yeah, that wasn't worth it. Now, just here, quick honesty check because we're going to stop right here. But quick honesty check. How many times have you done something wrong and go, yeah, that wasn't worth it? 50,000? Okay, I'm just asking. I'm just moving on from there because
does yesterday count?
Yes. That wasn't worth it. Of course not. But somewhere in the back of your brain, you keep thinking, well, it'll get better next time. No, it won't. Anyhow, all right, so here's the answer to the trivia question. David's best friend was Jonathan. Jonathan was his buddy. He was Saul's son, but he was his buddy. And before anything else took place, he was palsy-walsies with Dave. Okay, that's just how that goes. All right, we'll take our break, and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
there. It's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website, and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
This is Ray Bentley.
Ray Bentley, the man, the myth, the legend, on the show.
I was going to say that about you.
It has been four years and in 6 months and 29 days since you've been live on the David Spoon Experience.
Oh, man, finally. I'm sliding in under the tag home safe.
You are finally safe. Okay. And so I'll tell the entire audience real simple. After this interview, you can either blame Ray or you can bless Ray because it was his fault. A year and a half ago, on February 12th, when he called me and said, you should be back on the radio.
Amen.
You just point to that guy. Okay. All right. First of all, Ray, I want to ask you a really important question to start everything off with. The time is yours. You determine how much time you've got. It's totally up to you. But I do want to just ask you this quick question. How you doing?
You know what? I am doing good. I'm doing great. I think these are exciting times. I feel like we're in an acceleration of things happening, of God moving, of kind of things that we thought about and imagined prophetically what it would look like. And it's like happening so much so fast with such acceleration. I'm like, I can't hardly keep up with it all. It's a great hour to look up and to encourage one another. You know, I do realize there's lots of challenges, and these are trying times, but out of the worst of times come the best of times.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas, where it's not really Fun Friday. It's kind of like On Fire Friday. It's kind of like, I don't know if we can come up with something like that. I don't know. Or Monday.
Monday, I was about to say.
Yeah, Monday. Yeah, that's my first big mistake. I called it the wrong day. It feels like a Friday.
I was wondering, though, like, is they talking about
it's like
Monday?
Fun Day Monday. It's like, maybe it's like muy fiero Monday. No, that won't work.
Sounds like a food.
Yeah, I know it does. Like, now I'm hungry. Thanks. Somebody come up with a better name for me, but when Monday is on fire, one day that's just going to be every day for some people. We'll move on now. Trivia question. Right along the lines with the last one. I know I blew it. Everybody get over it. That's something that happens. The child that was – now, this is related to that last question we just had. The child that was dropped by his nurse and was crippled for life. What child is that in the Old Testament related to Jonathan? New nicknames coming out for this person. Thank you, Joanne and Cordelia. They've given a new nickname. The child that was dropped by his nurse and then was crippled for life. Which one was that? A relative of Jonathan. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So, I've got some things that I want to share. I'm not going to do the jokey thing quite yet. We'll just see if that comes into play. because this stuff is the stuff we're going to get into right now is some people really people take offense to this, and I find that amazing that we take offense to things that are in the scripture when it's like you can't escape them. It's like, why are we offended? Like, we're the ones that committed the offense. Why are we offended? And that is the whole premise of what I'm getting ready to go in. So before I get there, please be in prayer for the ministry. We have financial needs, which you guys know about. There's nothing strange there. I'm trying to give the first 30 minutes San Diego office, San Diego audience a little bit of a break, but we do have financial needs. They're always there. So if you can help out, that's great. Don't get guilted on it. Just do it if you can. Don't worry about it if you can't. Be praying for us, and then pray for wisdom, because we need to know what books to next go into. All right, Job 34:1. This will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, probably 6. Okay, 6 verses. Here it says, Elihu said, "Listen to me, you wise men, pay attention, you who have knowledge. Just as the mouth tastes good food and the ear tests words it hears, so let us discern for ourselves what is right. Let us learn together what is good. For Job said, I am innocent, but God has taken away my rights. I am innocent, but they call me a liar. My suffering is incurable, even though I have not sinned." Verse 7, just because I need to put it in there. "Has there ever been a man as arrogant as Job with his thirst for irreverent talk?" Oh, boy. Let's just do this. Billy Joel has written some pretty fascinating music. Some of it's good, some of it's really bad. I'm not vouching for his character, so don't go down that road. But he did write a song called "I Am an Innocent Man." Here's the thing. No, he's not. Okay. This is like Monty Python. So if you guys don't like Monty Python because they did Life of Brian, just ignore me. But Monty Python had, in fact, a great skit. The guy comes to the Department of Arguments. Listen to what I'm going to say. Comes to the Department of Arguments. He goes, "Is this the Department of Arguments?" The guy goes, "No, it isn't." You see why that's funny? You see? Do you understand why that's funny? You see, there's this thing in us that is like, okay, I am innocent. No, you're not. Okay, I'm innocent, and even though people are calling me names, I'm innocent. No, you're not. In fact, the first time you sinned, you deserved the justice that comes from sin. That's the justice part. Bye-bye. You've been evaporated and eliminated. But you weren't, because God is merciful. You think, well, no, just one sin. Wrong. God is perfect. No stain. The first time you sinned of consciousness, of accountability, the first time you dropped a red piece of dye on your white sheet of righteousness, you became unconnectable to God. He could have just zapped you out, and that would have been justice. But what is Job's claim? Job did a lot more right than most of us have done. But he said, "I have not sinned." This is going to be as nice as I can. In the King James, where it says that Job didn't, he never did anything wrong. That's a poor translation. Most people know that. The idea behind this is just simply this: Job did sin, and in fact, Elihu says, "Has there any been a man as arrogant as Job?" I don't know if you know this or not, but that statement that Job made was sin. You see, here's the funniest part. "I have never sinned." That's a sinful statement. You are a sinner. You see, there's like no escaping this. It's like, no, I can get away from this. No, you can't. Because in the economy of God, only perfection is acceptable in regards to being righteous, in regards to being on his level. Which is why Jesus, who never sinned, we need that righteousness.
put upon us to hang out with God. And by grace, by mercy, by love, and by compassion, we get it. We receive it. It's given to us. It's given to us by grace. We receive it by faith. Praise the Lord. But don't ever think you deserve it. I'll just say this, and you guys can just work through this little part right here. So my first big fast, and I told you guys this story, but it's just, I love it. I can't really forget it because it's the first major time that God spoke to me. So I told you, I went for a long fast, and coming up short in the fast, okay? In other words, I went for this first long, big fast, and that didn't go very good because I wasn't used to fasting, and I was a landscaper, so that really wasn't a good idea because it was, you know, very hot in Phoenix, Arizona, and landscaping, you know, not the best plan. Anyway, so the whole point of it is I get towards the end of the fast, and I fail. I lose the fast, right? I don't make it all the way. I miss it by a couple of hours. It's just like, and I gave everything to get it right. Right, I was just like, right. That's the one where I was telling you the bread was calling my name, David. Anyway, that's besides the point. So, what the Lord spoke to me the next day was, "You cannot merit my love." You can say everything you want to say. Go ahead. The love of God. It's not this idea that you earn his love, right? This isn't performance orientation. This is called reception, which is why the lamb and the bridegroom and the bride, the wedding, we're going to a reception. I know, I'm not saying it well, but you understand that we're going to a reception at this wedding. Because you're not going to a payday place, you're going to a reception. And you can't earn that. Yeah, you're invited. And that's what the Lord is trying to tell everybody. And it's like, look, I understand what people are saying. I get it. I want at times to be able to earn the love. I mean, I want to. I'm just being honest, because then I can go, ha-ha, right? Ha-ha, I did my part. Ha-ha. That's not how the kingdom of God works. You're either a receiver or a rejecter. Nobody's an earner, if you can understand that. So, you can't merit the love of God. You can't merit. And so you and I, we're not in this place where we get to say to God, I am innocent, but God has taken away my rights. There are no rights. There's reception and rejection. One of the two. Okay? All right, somebody is going to answer the trivia question. Great. Send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, this is Dr. Jesse.
Hi, Dr. Jesse. How are you?
I'm blessed and trying to fake the rest.
All right, my brother. Here we go. Here's a classic. So this is coming off the other question. Which child was dropped by his nurse and then was crippled for life?
That would have been Mephibosheth.
That is correct, my God!
Awesome.
Jeff Dixon pointed out something really, really great. It's a great story of grace with Mephibosheth, because he had to be brought into the presence of the king. Somebody had to carry him into the presence of the king. That is just like us, right?
Yes, it
so,
sure is,
so
isn't it?
So powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, we do have to be brought into his presence.
That's right.
But it's wonderful that he's always willing to see us. We don't have to have any special reason, right? Just any time we call on him, he's always there, the God who sees us, right?
Yep, 365, 24/7, never changes.
Wonderful, awesome. Yep. How are things going there, brother?
Doing well, brother, doing well. doing well, just moving it forward. That's our goal.
Yeah.
Move the little ball towards the hole forward.
That's right. Absolutely, bro. Okay, good. Good.
Thank you, brother.
Nice talking with you, and I appreciate everyone who's been able to continue lifting me up in prayer, and I pray for whoever the Lord puts on my heart as well.
You got
all the names I hear.
You got it, brother. Just keep hanging in there. Keep being strong. Keep staying faithful. And the Lord, he's with you. And you don't have to be afraid of anything other than that, because he's with you. So you have nothing to fear.
Great. I appreciate that. I need to always remember that. You're right.
All right,
you are
right, brother. God Great bless God. You.
All right. God bless you, brother.
Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right, folks. We're going to take our break and then come back. I love that. You're going to a reception. Yeah, that's right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break gets worse when we come back. Thanks a lot for all the Here we go. Let me give you an update on Easton Scott. A lot of tough stuff that my daughter and my son-in-law have been going through. I did send an email out. I don't know if, Julie, if you got the email
or not.
I did send it out to everybody. So he was going through 20 and 30 seizures per episode, and they've got that down to a dramatically less amount. But the sad news is that from a medical point of view, Easton does not appear, as according to the doctors, that he will be able to speak or will be able to care for himself. And so what the result of that is that Julianne and Jared, my son-in-law and my daughter, have recognized that God has put them in a position to be the best parents, to love Easton Scott with all that they can and give him the best life that they can. But while that's going on, they're not going to stop believing that something can change. And the doctors even said, this is territory we don't even know.
Right, because this is a problem that not very many people have had. So
very few.
Everybody is different.
Yeah, and they have like 230 total cases in the world that they have records on, which is like, so they're like, we don't know.
Right.
And it's like, so I just want to read this one thing my daughter wrote. It's a fantastic. She wrote this, you know, it's not easy to sit there and write a Facebook post that tells all the things you've been going through. And so I'm not going to read everything, but I'm going to read the last paragraph because I thought that was really significant. She wrote, scientifically, Easton does not have much of a chance. His best case scenario is he may possibly be able to walk and say 3 to 5 words one day. But God can help him. He's not afraid of impossible odds. And if Easton is healed one day, there will be no question as to where it comes from. It will not be because of therapy, and it will not be because of medication or diet. It will be because of God's undeniable healing power. So in the meantime, we choose to raise a hallelujah and trust in God. Ladies and gentlemen, that is faith. Now, the idea that it's going to be simple and everything's going to be great and they're trying to make pie in the sky, that doesn't exist at all. If you read this, and I think Wonder Julie can attest to it, she tells you this is ugly.
Right.
This is not a good situation. It's going to change our lives. He's never going to be able to be unattended. It doesn't look good. And, you know, as a parent, you're heartbroken. They have two other children. They don't want to have any loss in their communication with their kids, but they're going to have to give extra attention. They were going to have a fourth child. They're not sure they're going to do that now. So you got a lot of things in play. But what you can't deny is that I won't take credit, but I'll stand in there as a grandparent and as a parent and say, what a fantastic position of faith that my daughter has grown into. She has made the determination that she will do the best that she can as a human being to give this child the best life she can, and she will not quit hoping. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Or just tried to text Joanne and Cordelia and then accidentally pushed the dial button.
At least it didn't say anything crazy. You know how that,
yeah, no,
how
but they had that. A great line for the Mephibosheth answer. They called him Mephibi.
Mephibi.
Stand that. It's like, oh, Mephibi, I like that. Okay. What are we doing? Oh, okay. So I do want to point out that we got another trivia question. Plus, we have a couple other things we got to go to. And then this text, I'm trying to tell you it gets softer and nicer. That's such a lie. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I'm sorry. I can't help you. But this is the text. You can't change it. You don't want to change it for anybody or any reason. But this is a tough trivia question. So this will be impressive for those that do get, well, I don't want to say that, but this will be interesting. What did Hannah bring to Samuel every year when he was a boy? So what happened is that Hannah gave Samuel over to the ministry, to the work of the Lord, to Eli, and she brought him something every year. What was that that he was brought? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Going to send you up to the website, as we always do at this time. Remind you that there are prayer and praise forms on the website. Plus, there's a couple other things that you might not be aware of if you haven't checked it out lately. Plus, there's an opportunity to give right on the website. You just click the little, you know, donate button, and we will point out our 2 Corinthians 9:6-7 text. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. But each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly, not under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Not all money that goes to God is good money, according to God. So think about that. Check it out on HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Look, look, look. Manalachu. Goopa noopa. Goopa noopa.
You see, the problem with that sound is in the very beginning, the first three little sounds, I think it's a dog.
Me too, Dave.
So, I mean, so how does that not sound like a dog? Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure it's not me. I mean, I hear my dog barking in my sleep, so I'm just... It's just going to move on from there. Okay, so we got the trivia question. We'll make sure that everybody gets the opportunity to answer that. We're going to go into history right after that. What did Hannah bring to Samuel every year? Of course, your answer is going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 2. She brought him something. I like Ed Otto's answer. That's pretty much a funny answer, but I hope he doesn't think it's funny because it is funny. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. Also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Let's do history.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
All right, today is National Wiffle Ball Day.
Interesting.
I like wiffle ball. It's fun. It's fun, you know, except we used to use the bats to hit each other. So,
oh, wow.
You know. Don't you ever do that with somebody? You're like, bam, 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 bam. Those
that's a different guys. Type of wiffle ball.
Yeah. What's that?
I said, that's a different type of wiffle ball.
Yeah. No, that's, oh, yeah. It wasn't talking about that. Yeah. All right. It's not waffle ball either. I just want to point that out to you. Okay. Today is National Creamsicle Day. I like creamsicles.
I'll take it.
Yep. Liking those. 1934 on this day. Well, it's just amazing. The Little Abner comic strip by Al Capp made its first appearance in newspapers. It's a comic strip from long ago. You didn't miss that much. Don't worry about it. Okay, 1935 on this day, a government pension system is established with the passing of the United States Social Security Act. Everybody will have a comment on that, I'm sure. 1936, first Olympic basketball championship. The United States defeats Canada. Wait, wait. 19-8.
Oh, wow. That was pretty high scoring.
Yeah. Lighting it up there at the Olympics in 1936. Finally, 1959, first photograph of Earth taken from space. United States satellite Explorer 6 takes the first photo of Earth taken from space. It was taken about 17,000 miles high, showed a sun-lighted area around the central Pacific Ocean, and its cloud cover. There you go.
And when was that, Dave?
This is in space in 1959.
Wow.
Wow. Right? Okay. Got it. That's fun. Cool. Let's go. We've trivia question has been asked. You know, what did Hannah bring Samuel every year? If you know, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770, or text 214-210-8483. This next text, I'm going to have to be nice about this somehow, so let me just get to it. This is verse, starting with verse 7, picking it back up in Job 34. Has there ever been a man as arrogant as Job for his thirst for irreverent talk? He seeks the companionship of evil people. He spends his time with the wicked men. He even said, why waste time trying to please God? Listen to me, you who have understanding. Everyone knows that God doesn't sin. The Almighty can do no wrong. Just stop. There's nowhere to go. Just stop. You see, the problem for Job was not that he wasn't a good guy. Remember, he was a good guy. He did lots of great stuff. God was bragging about him. But Job's response after he did really good in chapters 1 and 2 was chapters 3 through 31, taking a direct dive into the hole. And what Elihu says that just ends all arguments for everything to be said is this, and the way he says it is so incredible. Everyone knows that God doesn't sin. Let me just say this. That's like saying, hey, even people that aren't smart know that God doesn't sin. It's almost like his way of saying, hey, you know this arrogance you're operating in? Hey, God doesn't do anything wrong. Ever. He doesn't ever do anything wrong. So you accusing God of anything is just as dumb as it can be. It's like, wow. Do you understand? It's like, wow. Talk about theology drop, right? If there was a mic drop, this would be Elihu's mic drop moment right here, right? If he had a mic, he'd just like, yeah, okay, here you go. Everyone knows that God doesn't sin. The Almighty can do no wrong. Bam, mic drop. Because why? Because that's it. That's the end of it. Stop thinking that God is doing something to you that's crazy, or that your life is an experiment. Or better yet, stop thinking that he didn't catch your trial or doesn't understand it or isn't grasping. Stop. We got to stop that, because when we do that, we are insulting the God of our salvation. Now, there's times where I insult my brother. He's my brother. I mean, I think that's pretty normal. But insulting the God of my salvation, again, not brilliant, right? And what Job and all of us cannot afford to do is have this attitude that says, well, I've been wronged by God. No, you haven't. Well, I went to a church and it was terrible. God did not wrong you. I had this happen to me when I was growing up. God did not wrong you. Humanity rebelled against God and reaped what they sowed. Sin, death, destruction, disease, and every form of demented thinking possible. God didn't do that. Man did that to themselves. God has never sinned. He never fails. He never does wrong. He's never late. All of these go to this, what we call theology proper. Theology proper is the theology or the study of God the Father in all that he is. He has never once done you wrong. Not even one time. Not even a little. And if you think he has, you're listening like Adam and Eve did in the garden. And that's sin. God has only done what he's done for you because he loves you, to try and help you. If you think of God in any other way, you're missing God. Okay? All right. Somebody is ready to answer the trivia question, so let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Don.
Hi, Don. How are you?
Well, fine. I was so excited. I answered all your questions. I was going to say, no, I'm not calling in. I just get such a kick out of just knowing what the answer is.
Well, that's important, though.
I knew the one on Jonathan and Mephibosheth. You know, it was really weird when Mephibosheth came up. That's the first thing that came up my mind. I said, Mephibosheth? Gosh, I haven't said that name in a long time. And sure enough, it's what it was.
Yeah.
And then when you think the deal about Hannah, when she made the little jacket, you know.
That is the correct answer. That's what we're looking for. His little jacket,
yeah.
His little coat, it could be a robe. I mean, that's okay. All that stuff's good. And
I love the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people don't like it. I said, you know, I don't know how you could not like the Old Testament.
Well, that's because a lot of people, when they read it, they kind of see it only from that negative point of view. But they miss a lot because they're skipping big pieces, especially because the New Testament says it was written for our encouragement, which is like, that's something to be aware of. Now, the law is one thing, but the law is not the entire Old Testament. The Old Testament's all of it. From the beginning of man until the coming of the Messiah. So it's like it involves quite a bit, right? So it's a much, much bigger than that. Exactly.
Anyway, I just really enjoy your show. I tell so many people about it, you know, because there I have lots of friends who are big Bible trivia people. I said, well, you need to go listen to David Spoon.
Thank you, brother. That's very kind of you.
All right, brother. You have a very blessed day.
All right,
and
you
cool
too.
Day. I just had my air conditioning fixed.
Well, praise the Lord, it's fixed.
Yes, praise the Lord. Whoa. And it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen, brother. I hear you.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. God bless you. All right, we are going to take a break, and then we'll come back because I still have this last little section to do, plus one more trivia question, so you better get ready for that. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. What is the David Spoon Experience?
Very brief teaching. Follow along with it. It's not very complex. Luke chapter 8, verse 16 through 18. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you listen. For to one who has, more will be given, and from one who has not, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away. Like, ow! Okay, first of all, the big teaching here is listening. We just talked yesterday about being present. This is part of that. It's kind of like a part two on that, okay? And by present means be there. When people are talking, listen. Be there and be a part of it. It's very clear that God, by testimony, has given us two ears and one mouth. What does that mean? We should listen twice as much as we talk. Which means I do a lot of listening. Sure. Anyway, but my ears are big, so it helps. James 1:19, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear and then slow to speak and slow to anger. It tells us in the scripture by command to be quick to hear, to listen. Now, the difference is hearing is receiving sound decimals, and listening is making sense of those sound decimals. So don't just hear, but listen. Make sense of what you're hearing. Make sense of what's being processed. And it's an ironic that Jesus said, take care how you listen. When you hear something and it's kingdom, seize it. Hang on to it. Hold it. Don't let it drift away. Because if the enemy has an opportunity to take it away or to befuddle it, that's the first time I've used that word in a long time, to quench it. If he has an opportunity to do that in your life, he will. He's an enemy. He's not your friend. Satan's your enemy. So you got to be aware of that. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We've got somebody on the line. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. It's your older brother, Jay. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Jay. How are you?
Oh, I'm tired and it's hot, but God bless us all, right?
Amen, brother. Amen. God, everybody's going to be complaining, and then it's going to get cooler and cooler, and people are going to go, oh, I kind of miss the heat.
but our fall around here is so beautiful, both days of it.
Yep, absolutely stunning. It's absolutely stunning here in the fall. Zero question. This is fabulous.
You missed the end of that, Dave.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I said our fall is stunning.
Fall is sunny.
Both days of it.
That's a good one. All right, I got it. All right.
Hey, I wanted to discuss with you real quick, and I think you'll agree with me, but I just wanted to see if you wanted to expound upon it. Just like when we repent and we know we've repented and therefore God smiles on us, if you will. I believe that when I catch myself doing something just responsively or even on purpose that the Lord wants from me, such as praying or meeting someone and then walking away and praying for them, or just living right, you know, not drinking or whatever. I do think that it's okay within ourselves to look up at my big brother and say, that's pretty good, wasn't it, Jesus? You know, I don't hoop and holler and talk to people about the good things that I do, but in my own heart I do, and I think that's kind of the Holy Spirit saying, there you go, in a reinforcement kind
of way. Yep, that's a great point. So first of all, let me back up. Both days of it, I got it, okay? And people texting me left and right.
Thank you. Okay.
That's number one. Number two, that point you just made there is actually an extraordinary point. I wasn't going to go that direction, but it is a great direction. When you are in some situation and you get through it, right? You don't do it, and you are responsive, and you do the right thing. It's like there is, even in that, and I just had that happen literally this weekend, which is why I find it so fascinating you brought it up. And it's like I told the Lord, I said I was somewhat proud of me. I also told him I'm much more thankful that he got me through it, because I always think that he's still the one that's getting me through it. But I'm also thankful that I didn't go the wrong direction in it. And so I tell him, I said, look, I have a sense of relief, a sense of confidence that I didn't fail in that.
I think it's wonderful to feel a feeling of Christ likeness in you. In other words, I'm really being prideful in Jesus, but I recognize him in me, and that makes me feel so good.
Yeah, no, and there's victory in that. There's a sense of there's an overcoming sense in your mind where when you don't. So sometimes the temptations come and they're ridiculous. And I'm just being honest. Like there's like, that's just so stupid. I mean, it's just like, even I go, I must have fallen in my classification for something that stupid to come my direction. So, you know, there's that, but then there's the other ones where you're like right there and it's like, No, I'm going to do it right. And then you know the Lord has helped you overcome and step over something.
I read in the back of a preacher's Bible one time, and I'm going to try to paraphrase this because I know I'm not going to get it right, but it said, you know you have reached a level of maturity when your natural reaction is righteousness.
Oh, that's good. No, that's good. I mean, we're supposed to have our senses discerned between right and wrong. That's part of maturity. So that is exactly correct.
When we naturally act in a way of righteousness, I think that's when we can, you know, say, okay, I can see that I'm maturing. Because for me, and I dare say for a lot of us, we wonder sometimes if we're maturing or if we're stagnating when we actually are maturing.
Right.
You know.
Right. And not giving yourself credit when you do it right doesn't help the cause. It's like, no, you got to acknowledge you know what it is? Every victory celebrated.
Exactly. And when you do give yourself credit, it helps you to desire to mature even more.
Yep. As long as you keep it where it needs to be focused, you know what I'm saying? Like, as long as you keep it under the hand of the Lord, that's the right place to be. That's the humility and the meekness he's looking for.
Okay, well, little brother, I am learning from you, so just wanted to let you know.
All right, thank you, brother. God bless you.
I love you.
All right, you too, bro.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, well, what a different show. I still need something for a Monday. You can call it Magnificent Monday because it was a fun Monday, but it was more magnificent than, okay, whatever.
It was both.
Okay, I'll work on it. I'll come up with something. One day. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the True Station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Just as I am, you reach down and see me. Purchase my freedom.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.